right, it's good to see everybody here tonight. Okay, in case you're interested, we live stream the sermon, so we can find that on our Facebook page. We have a group page. All right, the lesson tonight is called, What Can I Do? And so there are two reasons why one would ask this question. The first reason is they really do not want to do it, so they're going to find an excuse. And the second reason is because they see something needs doing, and maybe not knowing, they ask, what can I do? And so it's very simple, usually comes up as a response for two reasons. Like I said, someone needs help and is asking you for help. Well, what can I do? I mean, it's like that. And of course, we see this attitude all the time in all walks of life. We see it. And another is because we see someone needs help. We ask them if they would like our help. What can I do? I mean, so the same phrase, what can I do, is used in two different ways. And so, and folks, honestly, we're guilty of doing this ourselves. In both situations. So when we realize something needs to be done, we should ask, what can I do? And so that's what we're asking. And or you can be one to minimalize yourself by asking, well, what can I do? All right. See, when God asked Moses to go and help his people in Egypt, Moses responded with a similar question. Well, who am I? I'm a nobody. I'm just a poor farmer out here tending my sheep. I mean, find somebody else to do it. And you know what? A lot of people basically come up with that same response. When God says there's something needs to be done, well, find somebody else to do it. It's like that old phrase, well, here I am, Lord, send somebody else. I mean, that's what... Of course, you know from the scriptures, well, send me. But no, Moses, he wanted to get out of it. You remember all the excuses that he made? He asked that question, what can I do? I mean, Moses wanted to be relieved of such a great responsibility that he began to make all sorts of excuses. Well, I'm not a good speaker. I don't have any presence or anything. And so God basically said, I've got that taken care of. Three different times. He says, you're going to do the job that I want you to do. And so God would have nothing to do with his excuses. So what makes us think today that God is okay with excuses that we offer for not doing what we should be doing? There is no excuse. And you might come up with a reason which you might be thinking is a very valid reason why I didn't go to church today, or why I didn't do what I should have done. I mean, and you know what? People sin all the time, and they're always finding ways to justify what they did and make it sound good. So it's no big deal to justify something that you should have done but didn't do. And so we have that, and we deal with that all the time. And then there's times when we feel we're such a small part in the grand scheme of things that what we do really does not matter anyway. Well, you know what? It may not have any impact on 99.999% of the people in this world, but you never know if it will have an impact on one soul. We never know that. And so we should be looking and working to help that one soul find the truth, to help that one soul in a time of need that they might have. And so we should be doing something. And so don't ever say, well, I'm just a nobody. I can't really accomplish anything, or anything I do will not matter. No, we should never do that. All right. So the attitude that we usually see is something that needs to change. All right. Some people ask the question because they want to do something, but they're not sure what they can do to assist others in the grand scheme of things. And really, this is the attitude that God wants us to have. He told us that we're supposed to have a servant mentality. I mean, we're supposed to be here helping others. Well, how can we help others if we don't know what to do? So that's what we ask. What can I do? And so most Christians really appreciate it when someone asks if they can do something for someone or the church. I mean, it just gives me a thrill when someone says, well, something needs to be done here. Well, there's a cleaning closet back there. You can grab some of the instruments and start cleaning. I mean, something like that. And people have been known to ask that. But usually, most people just don't even ask. They see something that they don't like, so what do? They go home and complain about it. And they complain, well, why doesn't somebody do that? Well, guess what? You're a somebody, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. You are a somebody. And so you're the somebody that can do it. I mean, most of you have heard that story about anybody, somebody, everybody, and nobody. And that's basically what happens in a lot of places. It ends up nobody does something that everybody knows that needs to be done. So we will proceed with this lesson under the assumption that you are asking what you can do to help the church or someone else. In other words, for the rest of your life, what can I do to help others? And that's where our focus really needs to be. We've already aligned ourselves with Jesus Christ. We've already aligned ourselves with the Lord. And we're trying to live the righteous life that will help us get to heaven. And so we've already done that. Now our duty is to help others get to heaven. So, and when we consider that, what can I do to help others get to heaven? In worship, what can I do? All right, you can come prepared to worship God in the right frame of mind, leaving the cares of this world behind and seek God in spirit and in truth. Folks, we have so much going on in this world. We have so many things on our mind that when we walk in these doors, those things are still there and they rattle around in our skull and in our brain. And our focus is not on giving praise and glory to the one above, but, oh, I got all these problems. And we dwell on these problems. And so that's what we're having to deal with. And so we need to come prepared that we're coming here to worship God. We're coming here to learn how God wants us to live. And so that's the frame of mind we really need. Like Colossians 3 in verse 2, set your mind on things above where Christ is and not on the things of this earth. And so getting our mind in the right place, I mean, that helps us be more like Jesus when we can do that. And you can really show others your love for the Lord by singing with a purpose, to glorify God and sing praises to His name and build up and edify others. Yeah, singing is just one way we can do that. But there are some people, they come in here, they're nothing more than listeners. I mean, they sit there, and even my grandmother had a problem with singing. She didn't like to sing, so she'd just grab a songbook and just start flipping through it. Doesn't matter if they were singing a song or whatever. And especially when the preaching got a little tough and started stepping on her toes, she just started flipping through the songbook. And that's what she did. But anyway, when we sit there and enthusiastically sing these songs of praise to God, I mean, it's uplifting to others. And then when others join us, it's really enjoyable. And we may have a few voices. They may not be pretty. They may not be the best in tune. But you know what? That doesn't matter to God. God hears the heart. And for everybody, God's got the heart, puts out the same melody that maybe is what He enjoys. And so it may be beautiful to God. And I'm pretty positive that it is. You know, when Samuel was told to go and select one of the sons of Jesse, he looked at the first one, Eliab, the oldest son of Jesse, came in, tall, handsome. Surely this is the God's chosen. God said, nope, I didn't choose him. And so God said, you look at people as men see people, but I read the heart. And so when we're singing, it's no different. Doesn't matter if you've got a nice, pretty voice or if you're just a bullfrog trying to carry a tune. It doesn't matter to God. God reads the heart. So we should sing out, and we demonstrate this love to others when we do that. See, we can encourage others for being there. I mean, and services. We need to go around and make sure we let everybody know we appreciate their presence. And even though we might see the same people every Sunday, all the time we see the same people, but you never know that just an encouraging word might be they might be thinking about quitting, giving up. But just an encouraging word will probably help them out. So, yeah, encourage others not to miss the assemblies because they are vital for our soul salvation. All right, so, and you can attend all the services, including the classes. There's something we can do as far as worship to God. Some people don't think the classes are worship, but learning about God is worship. I mean, learning how we can do this and improve ourselves is worship. So a lot of people, they don't see the need to go to classes, but they want to make it to church. And I've got a news for them. If they think they're going to get to heaven, they better rethink that. Because we are commanded to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And when the church offers the opportunity to learn things, we should take advantage of that. Some people don't see it that way. Well, they're going to have to answer for that. That's all I can say. The time to learn more about God and His Word is never wasted time. Doesn't matter if you're in a ladies' Bible class on Tuesday morning or a home Bible study on Friday night or coming to services or getting online to Zoom on Wednesday night as we do and having our classes on Sunday morning. Learning about God and His Word is never wasted time. And we can participate with enthusiasm. You can encourage those who take part in the services, like the song leader, commending them and those who lead prayers as they speak beautiful prayers. Maybe those who might be assisting on the Lord's table, or even the preacher. Preacher gets really excited when someone says, "That's a good sermon." And I'll tell you that from experience. I mean, I just wonder, is anybody paying attention? And then all of a sudden I get one, "Hey, that was a good sermon." Wow, well, is there somebody? But still, I mean, you know what I'm saying. And if you really try, you will see that there is much that you can do. All right, in evangelism. Uh-oh, that's the preacher's job, right? Wrong. See, you can invite people to church. That is a form of evangelism. Bringing them to a place where they will hear more about God and meet people who care about God and serving God. I mean, that's something that we can do for people and provide a great service for them and invite them to church. And it may be you feel uncomfortable about discussing the Bible with others, but you can at least invite them to services and others can answer the questions that might be brought up. Or if you want, there's no problem. If you want to have a home Bible study with somebody, just let me know. And I'll conduct the home Bible study. And we have several here who would be willing to do that. And so, if you're uncomfortable answering questions, then get with someone you can trust who will give them the right answers. And you can share, like your bulletin. We have bulletins back there. Reading material with a spiritual message. When you're done with it, what do you do with it? Well, for some people, it just goes in the trash. Some people just throw it up on the dashboard of their car and it flies out the window. But you know what? That's evangelism, folks. I mean, the bulletin is evangelism. And you can hand this to somebody. You might walk by and just hand it to somebody you don't know. What they do with it, that's up to them. Who knows? They might start reading it and realize, you know what? I need to change my ways. So we never know. In evangelism, we really do not know unless we actually see the results. And chances are that may never happen. And so we do not know if our efforts will produce fruit because that is what God will provide. Yeah, like Paul said, Paul planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. And sometimes we find out maybe many years later that someone that you taught eventually obeyed the gospel. I mean, and that just really brings joy to your heart when you hear of something like that. And so, yeah, we don't know what our efforts will produce, if people will come around, if people will change their ways based on what we teach them. So we just don't know that. See, our job is to teach people about heaven and how to get there. That is the duty of every Christian, every member of the church. Your job is to help people get to heaven. We do that in several ways. And John 4:21 tells us that people are seeking to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we don't know if God didn't put us in their pathway to be that guiding light for them. Paul commended the Philippians for being guiding lights in this evil generation. And so we are to be the guiding lights that people need to see. That's why Jesus said, "Let your light shine. They may see your works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." But yes, there's people out there that really have considered, they've looked at the alternatives and they realize, you know what, I need God in my life. And maybe they'll have enough brains to ask God, "Hey God, I need you in my life. I need some help here." God will find a way to do his purpose, and his purpose will be to get somebody who can guide them. And so a lot of times we just feel like keeping quiet and not making waves or anything like that. And like Esther was told, for such a time as this, you were here. But if you don't rise up and save his people, God will find a way. So if someone's looking to be saved, may not be you. You may let that situation bypass you, but God will find another way for these people. If they're sincere, they will respond. So that's our job, is to help people. And since that is what God wants, we do not know that perhaps God is using us to shine our light on the path for these seekers to follow. I mean, sometimes we have to attribute all these things to providence. You know, Romans 8:28 talks about the fact that, yeah, all good things come to those who love God. And God is looking out for them. And when we do that, we don't know if we are possibly that one element that will help someone to come to the truth. And so we need to look at it that way. And we don't know who we will touch. I mean, sometimes I've met people that 20 years ago, they can tell me what sermon they heard from me. When they heard me one time. I totally forgot about that. But they remembered. There's something there. So, folks, if you just talk to people and share the gospel message with them, you might be able to help someone get to heaven. And if you can do that, God is going to be extremely pleased with you. No question about it. Because that's what he wants. He wants us to share the message, his message of salvation. And if you refuse to do that, what use are you? I mean, ask that question. What use am I if I don't share the gospel message with others? If I don't try and teach them? We can teach them by word of mouth. Sometimes we teach them by example. It's like that one guy many, many, many years ago, about the second century, he said, "Preach the word. Sometimes preach the gospel. Sometimes use words." I mean, so that's very plain and simple. We should teach by the way we live and set the example. And so according to Ephesians 2:10, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. The good works that God planned for us to do from the foundation of this world, God had it planned. His people were going to do good works. What better work can you come up with than sharing the gospel message with somebody? So the work we do for God is the best work anyone can do for another human being. I mean, that just goes without saying. And so that's what we need to do. Share the gospel message. I mean, it doesn't mean you have to preach a sermon every time, but just plant the idea, God is in control. Let God have these problems. When people talk about their problems, turn it over to God. You know what? Eventually, somehow, some way, those words will resonate and it will stick with them. They may come back and ask you, "How do I turn it over to God?" I mean, it can happen. I know. All right. In living, our daily living. What can I do? Well, you can learn how to be the best Christian possible. I mean, that's only through studying God's Word and applying what we learn from God's Word and being the best we can be, to be the servant that God wants us to be helpful for others, and to be a guide for others. And yes, it's hard sometimes to deal with all of life's problems, but that does not mean you can ignore doing right. I mean, that's just one of those excuses. Well, there's too much time. The boss wants me to work overtime, and I can't tell him no, so that's why I miss services. You know what? You had a choice right there. You had a choice. And so, you cannot ignore doing what God wants you to do just because problems are in the way. And we know full well Satan is going to put those problems in our pathway. He's going to put those stumbling blocks in our pathway. So we cannot ignore doing right for any reason. And we let our light shine by learning God's will. Yes, we need to grow. Be filled with the knowledge of His will, Colossians 1 and verse 9. That's what we should be doing, is filling ourselves up with the knowledge of God's will. That means that in order to get that knowledge, we're going to have to study. We're going to have to learn. We either sit in class and learn from the preacher, or we sit down and study for ourselves. But that's what we need to do. And so this learning comes through Bible study, classes provided by the congregation, or through personal Bible study. I mean, whenever we can. And the words of life should teach you how to behave in the present world so that you might enjoy the future world prepared by Christ and God. I mean, what does life teach us? We learn a lot about life and the words of life, the Bible. It prepares us, teaches us how we can handle things. This is an evil world we live in. It's an evil society, and wickedness abounds. You know, the prophecy of Isaiah 5 and verse 20 tells us exactly, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. That's what's going on in our world. I mean, what's being promoted in this world is everything God said, thou shalt not. They're promoting it as good. The only thing they can't stand are those who say we need to follow God's word. Ooh, that's taboo. We can't talk about that. So, yeah, we can learn how to behave in this present world, and that will prepare us for the next world. See, we can learn to be happy and content in life through the knowledge of God and doing His will. Okay, so maybe we can't afford that fancy sports car. Maybe we can't afford a big four-room mansion or something like that. But you know what? We can still learn to be content, just like Paul in Ephesians 4 says, I've learned to be content in no matter situation, whatever situation, in prosperity and in poverty. We can learn to appreciate what we have. Some people, all they do is complain. I mean, they want lobster dinner, steak dinner every night, and if they're going to get a peanut butter sandwich for dinner, they ought to be thankful for that. At least it's food. And so, I mean, I've always felt that way. I can enjoy a tuna fish sandwich just as much as a steak dinner. And it's just a matter of setting my mind to be content with what I have. I have something. If I sit there and start thinking about people in this world, they have nothing. They go to the garbage dump for their evening meals and eat the scraps of what someone else had. And that's how they survive. So don't you think we should count our blessings if we have food to eat? Yes, we should. And this world is painfully void of the knowledge that produces this contentment. And we talked about contentment several months ago and how we can acquire this contentment. It's all in our mind. And perhaps someone looking for such a life will see yours and ask you your secret. How is it that you can do such things? And believe me, if you're living the life that God wants you to live, there's a good possibility someone will ask you about the hope that's in you. And that's what Peter says, 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord Jesus in your heart, always being ready to give an answer of the hope that's in you, with meekness and reverence. And yes, so if you're living right and you don't let things bother you, like everybody else, seems to have a conniption fit, I mean, it's going to show up, and people are going to notice that. And they'll ask you, why? Why do you just not throw things around? Why do you not curse and swear when something goes wrong? Hey, just learn to be content. I mean, just if something needs doing, do it. I mean, just that easy. Well, if that happens, it should no longer be a secret then, will it? There's no secret of living a contented life. And it's all because I have my heart set somewhere else, and I'm ready to be with the Lord, and that means dealing with the things of this life, no big deal. I've got God on my side. So why do I need to worry about all this garbage that's going on? So that's what 1 Peter 3:15 is all about. So there is very much that you can do in your daily living. Now, in service, and I'm not talking about the worship service. We're not talking about the gathering together at a certain time where we worship God. We're talking about our attitude as Christians is that of servants. We are to serve others. And the life of a Christian should be motivated to serve others. And yes, we know there's some Christians, they do a lot for others. And they're recognized for such. And others just don't seem to do anything for anybody. And yeah, that's noticeable also. And so our duty to each other calls us to be active in serving one another. I mean, how many times is that one another phrase used in the scriptures? 81 verses, 81 times in about 79 verses. Yeah, that one another phrase is used quite often. And the majority of them are love one another, care for one another, pray for one another, edify one another, encourage one another. I mean, we could just keep going on and on. There's so many of those. And folks, that is what our job is as Christians, is to care about each other. Because let's face it, let's be honest here. If you thought nobody cared about you, why would you hang around? I mean, it's obvious. I mean, if nobody cared about me, why am I wasting my time being here? So, yeah, we need to be active in serving one another. And you never know if your service to somebody might be what they need to get them motivated to do more in the cause of Christ. And we can do this in many ways. We can serve others in many ways. And of course, we can always pray for our fellow Christians, knowing that hardship is suffered by all. You know, even Peter talking to the saints there in his first letter, he says, you know what? You just need to take courage. I know some of you are suffering. You're having your property seized. You're being put into prison. But know this, that you're not the only one. There's Christians all over this world that are suffering the same that you're going through. So you're not alone in this. And we have a tendency sometimes to think, well, woe is me. I'm all alone. Nobody cares. But we talked about Elijah the other day. I mean, he ran off. The king was trying to kill him, and he got in a cave and says, Lord, you might as well take my life. Nobody cares about me, and I'm all alone. God didn't reassure him. No, there's still 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And so they're out there. Faithful Christians are out there. If you can't get that support in the local congregation, go find another congregation that will give you that support. And perhaps some of us have forgotten how hard it is to fight against what this world is throwing at us. Yeah, I mean, that could be a tendency after you've been a member of the church for a long time. You figure out, you forget what other people are going through. They're going through the same things that you went through. And that's a tendency. I mean, when our situation changes, we sometimes forget where we've been. And this happens in all walks of life. I mean, if a person who gets promoted, how many times have you seen someone get promoted and then forget what it was like on the front line? And they make all these statements and rules, you need to do this or that, and they've forgotten what the actuality is out there. And so we have to be very careful when we see someone struggling with these cares of this life. We have to remember, you know what? I've been there. I know what you're talking about. I mean, I've had to deal with this. And let them know. Reassure them. Don't worry. You'll get through it. With the Lord's help, with our help, you'll get through it. And those of us who have been around for a while need to mentor and encourage those who are new to the faith and guide them. Because let's say, when people come and they're new members of the church, I mean, they've been so associated with the world for so long, I mean, they've got to learn a whole new lifestyle. We should be mentoring them and helping them out. You know, my dad, the last 6 years of his life, he moved to another congregation, and he actually became a mentor to about six young men. And he had Bible studies with them, and he felt so useful. He felt that he was doing something good to mold these young minds into learning the scriptures, not just repeating what they've been told, but actually learning it for themselves. And he was so happy. That was the happiest time of his life, was when he was helping these young people learn the elements of the gospel and the truth and how to present that truth. So, and I'll always remember that. And so people do not change overnight. We know that. And the transition of a worldly life to a spiritual life is difficult. I mean, once they become a child of God, Satan's going to be attacking them full force and trying to get them to turn around. And all it takes is just a little discouragement, a little self-absorption, a little bit of questioning, and we have a chance of losing them. So folks, get with others. Help them along the way. I mean, so some are weak. Help them along the way. And we need to be helping and praying for those who are struggling, whether it's certain issues that might be going on currently or struggling just maybe in the workplace. You're bombarded by all the negativity in the workplace. And we just need to be praying for each other. We all have to deal with something. And so, pray and help for each other. Now, what we can do might be as simple as making a phone call. Consider that. I mean, just calling somebody up and just talking to them. I mean, perhaps visiting one of the members will do wonders for someone's feelings. Yeah, sometimes we get a chance to go visit and say a few words, help them out. If you go into a sick person's home and you see the sink is full of dishes, well, don't ask if you can wash the dishes. They're going to tell you, oh, no, I'll get to those later. And no, go ahead and wash the dishes. Something needs to be done. And they're too prideful to ask for help. And we have to realize that. A lot of our members that way. A lot of members keep their problems bottled up and don't share it. And I told someone just today that thing. Don't bottle it up. How can we pray for you if we don't know you're going through problems? So in our service, we should really want to do for others. As Christians, I mean, that we should be servants. And as long as we're just acting like consumers, we're not going to do anything for anybody. But when we get the mindset of being a servant, then we're going to do for others. I mean, if we're trying to be like Jesus, we want to serve others. And that's what Jesus said. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. And if he is our perfect example, then we should have that same attitude in ourselves. This is what Jesus did. He's our perfect example. So really what we need to do is get to know one another better. That will help us. And by learning who they are, we can learn to appreciate them even better. Because we all have a story behind us. What brought me to the Lord? Or how did I become a Christian? How did I become a preacher? We all have a story that we can relate to others. And someone, you know what? I've been in a situation like that. I remember what that was like. And we can help them. And we can serve people that way. And all this should take place because we desire to do something for God and for Christ and his church. Because this is what God wants us to do. Be a servant for each other. Serve one another. All right, so we all have the ability to do better, at least do something. And we have that ability. We can do something. May not be a lot, but we can do something. Doing something is better than doing nothing, because God doesn't appreciate those who do nothing. We learned that from the parable of the talents. Remember that? The five-talent man, the two-talent man got busy and increased the master's holdings. The one-talent man said, I'm afraid of him, so I'm just going to bury it. He was called a wicked slave, and then what he was given was taken away from him. So if we do nothing, that's how Jesus is going to look at us. You filthy, lazy, wicked slave, servant. See, we should know that our life will have fulfillment when we have done good things for others. And that's right. When we're doing things for others, when we're helping others get to stay spiritually minded, especially as a preacher, if I can keep people spiritually minded and focused on serving God, I mean, I know I'm doing a good job. And so that's what we need to do. And each of us has members. If we can just sit there and encourage each other and do whatever we can for each other and pray for each other, yeah, we will feel good about ourselves. We will feel that we are doing what God wants us to do. And we should want to be this kind of person so that people will love and respect us and hopefully learn from our example. That's what we're supposed to do. Let our light shine. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. And Paul told many people that by following his example, they would be on the right path. On more than one occasion, Paul says, the thing you've seen and heard in me, commit thou to faithful others who will teach others also. And so, that's 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. And so, that's what we should be doing. Setting an example for others. Because we never know if our example will help someone get to heaven or not. So, the question is, are you on the right path? And so, please ask what you can do. There's things that need to be done. We all know that. But just ask what you can do. Not as a form of excuse to get out of doing it, but what can I do more? I mean, there's something else we can consider. What can I do more than I have been doing? Think about these folks. I mean, we always offer the invitation for those who need to obey the gospel, those who need the prayers of the congregation. We stand ready to assist you in any way that you need. Just let us know about it, and we'll be glad to help you. So we're going to offer the invitation song, and we invite you to come while we stand and sing.